On the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by T-Mobile Business Advantage.
I'm Stacey Lynn. President Trump told steel workers in Pennsylvania,
we are going to be imposing a 25% increase. We're going to bring it from 25% to 50%, the tariffs on steel into the United States of America, which will even further secure the steel industry in the United States.
He says the tariffs on aluminum imports will be raised as well beginning June 4th. CBS's Kelly O'Grady on the impact.
That's going to increase costs a lot. Now, of course, the idea is to make people buy American-produced steel, but we have so much room to go in terms of ramping up production.
While in Pittsburgh, Mr. Trump also touted a deal between U.S. Steel and Japan's Nippon Steel, which steelworkers celebrated.
The deal is incredible. This could be a renaissance for steel in the United States.
Several said while they think U.S. Steel is strong, this deal will make the company better. Now to your weekend weather, and out west, it is feeling like the middle of summer. Meteorologist David Parkinson says it's the first heat wave of the season, and it could set some records today.
Likely 24 records on Saturday. From Southern California all the way up to the Canadian border, Boise will hit 100 degrees on Saturday. Missoula, Montana up to 95. Reno, you're at the triple digits as well. Into the Central Valley of California, likely topping out at about 105.
While it's extremely hot in the west, much of the east coast is dealing with heavy rain and flooding. A salmonella outbreak linked to tainted cucumbers has expanded. The CDC reports nearly 4 dozen people in 18 states have gotten sick now. At least 16 had to be hospitalized after eating the cucumbers produced by Florida-based Bednar growers, distributed by Fresh Start Produce Sales. The outbreak includes reports of illness from people aboard 6 different cruise ships that departed from U.S. ports between late March and mid-April. Well, teams from Paris and Milan are vying for one of the most prestigious prizes in European soccer. CBS's Elizabeth Campbell with details.
Paris Saint-Germain is on fire currently. They are trying to lift their third trophy of their club season so far. And I know for a lot of people that may be confusing, what do you mean third trophy? But the way football works overseas is there's many different tournaments and many different ways to win. So what we're seeing today, it is the top of the top final championship that they're going for. They have won other trophies along the way.
The game kicks off in Munich at 3 p.m. Eastern on CBS. This is CBS News.
If you're 55 and up, T-Mobile has plans built just for you. Get the savings you want on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/choice55 and start saving today.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. The House budget bill would reform environmental permitting in Wisconsin and nationwide, potentially streamlining the process and reducing litigation. Here's Brent Pivido.
Under the National Environmental Policy Act, or NEPA, large projects with the potential to affect the environment must complete environmental assessments or impact statements. This includes all federal agencies and impacts private development projects that need federal permits. The new provision would create an expedited review process for a fee of 25% on top of the usual cost of a NEPA review. Thomas Hockman with the Foundation for American Innovation says the new rule would also shield projects from NEPA-related litigation.
There are quotes from folks like outgoing EPA General Counsel, who say 90% of the details in a NEPA review are purely there for litigation proofing the document. You can imagine if you only need 10% of the details in that environmental impact statement because you know that you are not at risk of litigation, that is almost certainly a radically faster timeline.
In court, federal agencies have an 80% success rate on appeal, and their environmental reviews are not often changed through litigation. One study of NEPA reviews shows solar energy projects face the highest litigation rate. Frequent litigation was also seen with pipelines, transmission lines, turbines and wind energy projects. Despite shortening the process, Hockman says the reforms may also make projects subject to shifting political agendas.
If you let each administration determine what the cost is and also spend time determining what the cost should be, you could potentially see differences in treatment. So, you know, maybe a Republican administration drags their feet and puts out a really high cost for a wind project that's going through an environmental impact statement. Maybe a Democratic administration does the same for a pipeline that's going through an environmental impact statement.
For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Brett Pivato. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Hi, meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A great-looking weekend as we transition into the month of June. The only caveat is you may notice some of that smoke from those Canadian wildfires. Mostly sunny today with a high of 76, partly cloudy tonight with lows near 50. On Sunday, sunny skies and warmer with highs in the lower 80s. Right now, it's 57.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, Dr. Kristen Lyerly on giving pharmacists greater ability to prescribe birth control pills. And we start a new feature wrapping up the weekend in sports.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Allbar Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Allbar.
Aaron, Todd's producer. Thanks for joining us for this weekend's Best of the Todd Allbaugh Show. This week, Todd covered a lot of topics. Starting on Monday with our special Memorial Day show, we talked about some of what the Department of Veterans Affairs does for our men and women who have served. On Tuesday, Todd talked with Kira Sabin, a positive psychology coach and life coach, about Mental Health Awareness Month. We'll listen to that later. He also talked about some of the ways that the Trump administration continues to disrespect men and women in uniform. Later in the week, we heard from Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez about the things she's heard most commonly from Wisconsinites around the state in her latest travels. Todd also asked for your favorite breakup songs as we talked about Trump and Musk's fiery public breakup. Yes, it's a serious issue, and the Doge cuts are affecting a lot of people's lives, but humor helps us stay sane. Or sane enough, anyway. You can check out those moments and more at civicmedia.us/shows and go to the Todd Allbaugh Show. Anyway, back to today. First off, we're going to listen to part of Friday's show where Todd interviewed Sholly Pittman, Civic Media's brand new news director. We're very proud to have her here on the team, and you should listen in so you can discover why.
Ain't that good news? Yeah, ain't that news?
News across the state of Wisconsin. It's 35 minutes now past the hour of 2 o'clock. Welcome in. It is May 30th, 2025, TGIF, a Friday edition. Nicely done there, Mr. Zomers. Who's singing that? Who's the...
The Supremes.
Is it really the Supremes?
It sure is.
That's fantastic. Nobody's more thankful for our next guest than me after not having a news director for quite some time and working election night without one. I've been filling the chair, but now no longer needed because we have a legitimate, wonderful, talented news director here at Civic Media making her first appearance on the air.
Absolutely.
First appearance on the air Ms. Shali Pittman. Shali, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be on your show, and I'm still going to tap you for election night. I hope you know that.
We'll see. We'll see. But no, I'm happy. However I can help out, but I'm really glad that you're here because, well, first of all, let's just start out. Tell folks a little bit where you grew up, where you're from.
Thank you. Thanks again for having me. My name is Shali. I have worked in journalism and in radio since I was 18 years old. Grew up in kind of rural-ish Wisconsin, Fort Atkinson. Went to UW-Madison and worked at all kinds of radio stations, public and college and non-commercial. But I've never worked in commercial radio.
Really?
So I'm kind of crossing it off my list now that I'm here. The rules are a little bit different. I love that we're a statewide network. This is so cool. Still a lot to figure out, but yeah, I have done it all. I've been behind the mic. I've run so many boards and produced a lot of different shows. And I come from WORT most recently. I was the news and talk director there for 6 years. Madison Hippie Station is what it's commonly derided as, but it is so much more than that.
I was just going to say, I've been on Tony's show before.
Castaneda.
Tony Castaneda. Great guy, great musician, great Madisonian.
Yeah.
One of my favorite people of all time. He was kind enough to have me on his show, and he came on this show. And I what you just said, I think, is really important because, you know, there's always stereotypes or whatever. And certainly, I think there is kind of that grassiness, root of earthiness of WORT.
Yeah.
But we've actually used some of your stories of WORT newsroom on our show because you guys have really been known for some really great reporting here in Madison.
Thank you so much. And yeah, it's true. I think you pulled our reporting on Huron Consulting a couple months ago, and that took a whole year. And we do open records. I think the important thing in your community is showing up, which I know that's something that Civic Media is trying to do, but there's no replacing that, right? Mm. And media, in many regards, is crumbling across Wisconsin. So I think we're connected with our community. We have the, you know, it's volunteer based. We have kind of 7 full time. I should stop saying we, right?
But it's only been a couple of weeks,
yeah.
Right?
there are 7 full time staff members and a few part time staff, but everyone on the air is a volunteer over at WORT. So it's a lot of training folks on how to do good radio, but you also have a wide network of tips. So that's pretty cool.
It is super cool. And what I love about your experience at ORT, which is a community radio station, our owner, CEO, Sage Weil, his original vision, which still holds true, is to create a network, a statewide community-focused radio network. And we have so many great people across the state in our news department. We had several of them on. Just had James Kelly, our Northwest Bureau Chief up in Chippewa Falls on Friday. And I think that having those individuals all across the state being led by someone like you who comes from community-focused radio, I just think that it's a fantastic matchup, and I'm really excited.
I'm really excited to be on my 4th day here. It's been a bit of a drinking from a fire hose. I've been meeting with our reporters, our reporting team, and my number one takeaway is how hard they work, Todd. They work incredibly hard to report from their communities, and that it's not as easy when you're in rural Wisconsin, right? When there aren't a lot of other news sources. But I see that as our specialty, and you know, in reporting what's actually happening in our community, also being the folks who show up. So I'm excited to continue that work.
We're talking to Shali Pittman, the new news director here at Civic Media across our statewide radio network. It is 42 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock. Shali, one of the great privileges that I have with this show is they allow me to travel throughout the state. We've done the show, Zomers, pretty much from almost every market at this point now, at least the news talk market, I think. And, you know, I grew up in Richland Center and WRCO, and now part of it is WRCE, is my home station. This is where I started when I was 17. And Joanne Krulatz, our news director there, She's going to school board meetings, to city council meetings. She's putting newscasts together, a 45-minute live new newscast every day and a lot more. You got when we were up at Chippewa Falls, James Kelly's going out to rallies on against, I think, Van Orton, the congressman up there. You've got Melissa Kay at Wisconsin Rapids. We did the show from up there, much like WRCO. People are coming into the station every day. Oh, here's what's going on with our local Lions Club to raise money. Here's what's going on to raise money for the PTO. What, as you look at this network now that you're inheriting, I guess, or now leading is a better way to put it, what would be your, on day four, a couple of goals that you would like to see us achieve our news department?
Well, the first goal is just to talk with everyone, and I'm about halfway through that goal. But short-term goals would be to make the news operations. We've had a couple of changes in the last few years to make that a little more sustainable for our reporters. But I am definitely still finding my niche. I think being connected to your community and having that play out on air, on talk shows and on news shows could use some refinement, but is of paramount importance. I think our news and our news talk or our talk programs being able to communicate a little more would be good. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm glad I'm not joining like the day before an election or something like that. Right?
Right. Yeah. I think you know, our friend and colleague, Jane Matinere, who is an icon in this business, pardon me, particularly in Southeast Wisconsin, and she and I have chatted. And, you know, it's the irony is not lost on any of us that oftentimes communication companies sometimes are the worst at internal communication.
Well, we're doing okay, but I think there's some things to figure out. And, you know, but there are so many projects to take up. And that's sort of also what I love about this company is it does have a little bit of a startup vibe to it. And there are so many things that we can do, right? Yeah. I was in, what do you guys call it? The knock?
I just call it the control room.
Yeah, Network Operations Center, the NOC.
Is that what it stands for?
Yeah, that's what it stands for.
Oh, I didn't know.
It's a really.
I've been here 3 years. I didn't know.
It's a really great place to hang out because you can listen to any station with the click of a button, which right. I love. But it's, you know, our Chris Casper, the IT, the engineering guy here, was just showing me what they use to do live remotes, and they have all this technology that you can go anywhere in the state and do a live remote, even if you don't necessarily have broadband. So there are a lot of opportunities here. I've got folks asking me about open records already, and I'm excited to bring more of that with us as well, or just as much, but to really hone that. So there are a lot of opportunities.
Yeah. And I guess the point I've been bringing that up earlier is just that what I love about you is you're from the business, you're a broadcaster, you're a journalist. And so you get this stuff. And so I think sometimes, you know, we in communication, myself included, who doesn't always do a good job of communicating with others, the fact that you get that and you can instantly on day one, it's just a huge compliment to our company. And I'm really, really excited to have you here.
That's really kind of you. Thank you so much. Radio people are the best. The folks who can run the board, who can be behind the mic.
Well, yeah. Zomers is fantastic.
Yeah. Has he hosted?
Well, not really hosted.
No. I mean, I've talked on the radio. Yeah, I talk every day. But no, I guess I co-hosted with one of our producers who left recently, Jess. That was one day.
Yeah.
I've done one show as a very secondary co-host.
The answer is yes. You've hosted, right? So they all knowing each role is so important too, to know what a producer, how much work it takes to produce. Producers never get enough credit. You do a very good job, but
we try.
I think that's really important of acknowledging all of the people who work really hard to make a show a success, and you do it flawlessly.
Well, you're too kind, but I'm a big believer in team, and I just come in and do my little part, but you're absolutely right. Without engineers and producers like Zomers, without our engineering team, without, you know, it goes on, this thing's never going to work. So I'm just very privileged and fortunate to be here and do my little dog and pony show between 2 and 4. You know, that's the way it is.
Well, this morning, you were on this morning too, so you're doing a little more.
This morning I got up early and did Pat Kreitlow's show, and that was a lot of fun. Can you hang around for another segment?
Sure.
You have time? Because I want to come back here. I guess we have a couple minutes.
Well, 1 minute.
1 minute or so. When we come back, this morning, Pat has this great roundtable on Fridays. And Mark Jacob, who wrote for the Chicago Tribune and Chicago Sun-Times, fantastic guy, as is Jennifer Schulze, who is at ABC7 and WGN-TV in Chicago. And we had this discussion this morning on what mainstream media is missing today and the benefit of having independent journalism and maybe how civic media fits into that. So we'll ask you that on the other side.
Okay.
All right, text the word PARK, P-A-R-K, to the Civic Media app for those Brewer tickets. Come on back. Talk news with Charlie Pittman. It's the Todd Alamo Show across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Up next, the rest of Todd's conversation with Civic Media's news director, Charlie Pittman.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
May is Mental Health Awareness Month, a time to pause and remember your mental health is as important as your physical health. Jeff Olson's son struggled with stress and anxiety, and this father from the UP says he's speaking out to save lives.
He came to us, asked for help as a junior in high school, fought it for 3 more years, had a couple suicide attempts in between there. The anxiety and depression was too much for him, and he ended up taking his life. My wife and I felt the need to speak up and not hide this in hopes of educating people so they didn't have to go through what my son Daniel went through.
If you're struggling, you are not alone. Reaching out is a sign of strength, not weakness. The Suicide or Crisis Lifeline is available 24/7. You could call or text 988 anytime. Again, 988. Let's choose to connect and care for ourselves and others this month and every month. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
All across Wisconsin, destination marketing organizations are working to ensure that tourism in our state and your local community is stronger than ever. Because when you travel in Wisconsin, you see what our beautiful state has to offer. And now, more than ever, you see the importance of the travel and tourism industry and the impact it has on our community's small businesses, infrastructure, and economy. Destination marketing organizations statewide are working diligently to generate the economic benefits tourism has to offer and ensure that tourism in Wisconsin recovers better than ever. Their work to drive visitation, book meetings and conventions, and enhance the visitor experience not only encourages travelers to discover Wisconsin, it bolsters the economy, supports jobs, and it improves the quality of life for all Wisconsin residents. And you can do your part just by exploring Wisconsin yourselves or supporting your local destination marketing organization directly. To learn more about what Wisconsin's destination marketing organizations are doing, visit destinationswisconsin.com. Sponsored by Destinations Wisconsin.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Thanks for sticking around on the Best of the Todd Alball Show. Here's the rest of Todd's conversation with our new news director at Civic Media, Charlie Pittman.
Welcome back to the Todd Alball Show, the Civic Media Radio Network. It's now 2:52 here across Wisconsin. That is the, you found the rare version, Zommers, of the word version. That's rarely played. Words. It's usually just but it's fine. I'm not criticizing it.
Right. Usually it's like a trumpet, not.
But no, it's fine. But it's the theme song to MASH. Some breaking news, according to CBS News at this hour. Loretta Swit, who played Major Margaret Houlihan on the TV series MASH, has died. A representative for her confirmed it to CBS News. Ms. Swit was 87 years old. She died at her home in New York City, according to a representative, B. Harlan Bowl, who said in a statement to CBS News today, she is believed to have died of natural causes. Swit starred on stage and screen, but she was perhaps best known for her long-running role as the foil to Alan Alda's Benjamin Franklin Hawkeye Pierce on MASH, which aired for 11 seasons on CBS from 1972 to 1983. Again, Loretta Swit, better known as Hot Lips Houlihan on the show MASH, dead at 87. We're here with our guest this half hour. We're pleased to have her, not just this half hour, but here at the company. She is the news director for Civic Media, Shelley Pittman. Shelley, do you ever watch MASH?
No, I was going to say that went all over my head, but you seem like you like MASH.
It was one of my all-time favorite television shows. And the finale of MASH, which was the title of it, is called Goodbye, Farewell, and Amen, was the number one. It still might be the number one network show of all time. It got like 87 million people or something watching it.
Now, is it something that you rewatch?
Oh, I have, because my dad collected them and I've kind of inherited that, I have all 11 seasons on DVD.
Do you watch them on DVD?
I haven't. I don't sit down to do it. But you know, like MeTV or something on cable or over there. And I think that to me is the testament to a great television program. It's been off the air all these years, and I can watch it. An episode I might have seen a dozen times, and I still laugh and or get. That was the magic to MASH, is the writing. Because at first it was based on a movie, a comedy movie, and then made into a series. And the first two or three or 4 years were all just comedy. It was very funny. But then it got into this kind of storytelling of telling the story of people in war. And it got very emotional as well. And they could combine that magically between comedy and drama.
Which, by the way, I looked it up. MASH is indeed the number one most watched broadcast live. If you exclude
Super Bowls, right?
Because if you include those, it's number 12, and the rest of the top 20 are all Super Bowls.
Pretty impressive. Yeah, it was a big show back in the day. We got about 4 minutes left or so. Shelley, we talked this morning on Pat Kreitlow's show, filling in for him with Mark Jacobs, formerly the Chicago Sun-Time and Chicago Tribune and Sun-Times, and also Jennifer Schulze, who worked in television at ABC 7 and WGN, about the fact that so much of mainstream media is either getting pressure from higher up, in the case of CBS and ABC, who have either settled or in the process of trying to settle lawsuits from President Trump and are kind of capitulating. Scott Pelley on 60 Minutes called his own network out in the series finale this year of 60 Minutes. And I think one of the great advantages to independent news sources, of which I would consider Civic Media one, is there ain't no directive from the top that, oh, you can only say this or that. Our owner, Sage Weil, just wants us to tell the truth.
That's a great directive to have. And, I think that's part of the challenge of this job, is parsing out what exactly are we going to focus in and what are we focusing on for that day? But you're right. I also think that there are many talented journalists who work at all of those networks.
Oh, agreed.
And radio in particular is a particularly challenging medium to work in, where we get lumped in with everyone else at the station because you are the voice behind the mic. Mm-hmm. And if people tune in once, then you are representative of the entire station, right? I think that's a very difficult thing to grapple with, especially when you're talking about news where you get to say your opinion, Todd.
Right.
I don't, right?
Right.
So I think that is something that has never quite been solved. But I invite folks to think of radio as a newspaper, right? You are the opinion section, and the newscasts that you hear in the middle of your show are the news section, right? Mm-hmm. Which are fact-checked and vetted, and not that you're not vetted.
No, no.
What kind of vetting process did you go through?
Just kidding. Well, a lot of people would say not much of one. I've said this show many times. This is not a journalist news program. It's a news talk opinion program.
Exactly.
But having gone through Platteville's communication and journalism school, well, not a proper J school, but communication program, yeah. I apply journalistic ethics to this show.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. But there is a distinction. And I ran across that at WORT. And I think every station and other news sources also face that problem of there are many people who work at one place and they all have slightly different perspectives and procedures and ways and ethics. Mm-hmm. Right. So trying to standardize some of that, too, is a little bit part of my goals here.
About a minute left or so. What have I not asked you that you think people across Wisconsin should know about you or your new role as news director?
Oh, so much. And I look forward to getting to know you better. listeners might want to know that we share a wall, so I can hear you laughing every day, and it makes me really happy that, you know, so you you have a cool energy over there in your kind of producer's corner, which I appreciate.
Well, you're being way too kind, because I travel a lot, my desk area has got to be quite a nest. So that's my goal, to try to clean that out so it's not quite so bad over the weekend.
Yeah. You know, some of the greatest journalists I've seen, they have very messy desks. So I think you're okay.
Thank you. You're absolutely right. It's the HED. Back in the Capitol, my desk would be a mess. My boss would say, "How can you find anything?" I say, "What do you want?"
I don't have time to find something. I just need to do the thing.
Exactly. I could pull something out of a pile. I knew exactly where it was. Sholly Pittman, everybody, our new news director here at Civic Media. Welcome, Sholly, and please come back often.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Our pleasure. Stay tuned. What's Worse is next. You're listening to The Todd Albaugh Show across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Coming up next, we'll listen to Todd's conversation with positivity psychology life coach Kira Sabin for Mental Health Awareness Month. Stick around.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump announced he's doubling the tariff rate on steel imports to the U.S.
We're going to bring it from 25% to 50%, the tariffs on steel into the United States of America, which will even further secure the steel industry in the United States.
He's also raising tariffs on aluminum. Both go into effect June 4th. President also touted a planned partnership between U.S. Steel and Japan's Nippon Steel.
There will be no layoffs and no outsourcing whatsoever.
The deal applauded by steelworkers.
It gets me energized, gets me ready to go and go out there and work harder.
And cucumbers are linked to a salmonella outbreak that the CDC says has now expanded. Nearly 4 dozen people in 18 states have gotten sick after eating the cucumbers produced by Florida-based Bednar growers and distributed by Fresh Start Produce Sales. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacy Lynn.
It's the Brewers and the Phillies. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball from Citizens Bank Park, where the Brewers faced the Phillies last night. Milwaukee got the win 6-2, thanks to a pair of home runs by Christian Yelich. D.L. Hall pitched the first three innings before Quinn Priester took over, manager Pat Murphy.
That was terrific. Quinn was best I've seen him. You know, six innings, sinker working, ground ball after ground ball, really stayed on it, competed. He was great. I mean, a difference maker in the game. Six innings, you know, there's been few and far between pitchers give us six, and he did it with 71 pitches, no walks, no free bases. That was awesome.
In golf, Mal Saigo of Japan shot 6 under par at Erin Hills to take the lead in the women's U.S. Open. The United States' Nelly Korda just 3 shots off the pace.
Definitely felt a little bit more confident on the putting green today. Made some putts, made 2 kind of silly bogeys. Other than that, felt really, really good out there.
That's golfer Nelly Korda with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Hey ho, jazz fans. It's summer, and there's nothing better than outdoor jazz in the summertime in Wisconsin. So if you're in the Madison area, check out the Madison Jazz Festival from June 5th through the 15th. This year's attractions include Emma Dayhuff, the Edwin Doherty Five-Tet, the Emmy Castro Peruvian Jazz Quintet, the Sweet Tooth Jazz Band, and check out Jazz Sunday at the UW-Madison Memorial Union. Aw, yeah. And if you're up in northeast Wisconsin, check out Sundrop Days. Shawnee was known for its delicious Sundrop manufacturing and distribution center. The annual festival is held the first week of June every year and kicks off this coming Friday. There's stuff for kids, crafts, live music, and of course, some dynamite soda. That's right, folks. Finally, there is a festival centered around a delicious soft drink, especially the real sugar version in a glass bottle, baby. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Hi, meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A great-looking weekend as we transition into the month of June. The only caveat is you may notice some of that smoke from those Canadian wildfires. Mostly sunny today with a high of 76, partly cloudy tonight with lows near 50. On Sunday, sunny skies and warmer with highs in the lower 80s. Right now, it's 57.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Michael Negron of the Small Business Majority.
You know, the Trump administration thinks that they're doing a solid for small business with their policies. And so having business owners out there talking about how, whether it's tariffs, whether it's potential cuts to healthcare, how it's going to hurt their bottom line, how it's going to hurt their consumers or their employees, I do think that will have a real impact. Every time he does something, he gets really bad feedback and he retreats in the face of it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
We are not perfect here at Civic Media. Far be it. Certainly not perfect at this show. But one thing I can assure you of, our owner that I can see right through this glass right now, Sage Weil, has never once told me what to say and encourages us to speak the truth. And that's why, above all else, I'm proud to work for this company. And along with my colleagues, we will bring you what's really happening out there. And if we get it wrong along the way, we'll admit to that and correct ourselves as well.
Catch the Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
At 4:30, I'll be joined by senior ranking member of the state's Joint Finance Committee, Senator LaTanya Jackson, to talk about the Republicans' cuts that will affect you and yours.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Thanks for sticking with us on the Best of the Todd Allbaugh Show. Now we're listening to part of Tuesday's show and Todd's conversation with Kira Sabin, a positive psychology coach, about Mental Health Awareness Month. You can listen to the rest of the conversation at civicmedia.us/shows. Enjoy.
Welcome back to the Todd Allbaugh Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 35 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Tuesday, the 27th of May. Glad to have you along. When you dial up there, Summer?
By request, We Belong by Pat Benatar.
Cannot beat a little Pat Benatar. It is off the playlist.
Can't.
Of our guest this hour. She is Ms. Kira Sabin, a positivity psychology coach, or positive psychology coach, and joins us on an ongoing basis to talk about mental health. Of course, May Mental Health Awareness Week. Kira, we always appreciate you coming on and making us feel better. What I love about you, Kira, a lot of things, but you're real. You keep it real. It's not a lot of fluff. You don't expect people to be perfect. And you give us real, actual insight that I know has helped a lot of people. People have asked you to come back on and really appreciate that. We're talking about healthy coping skills. And Kira, let's get into a little bit of what the two types of coping skills are.
Right. So we have two types of coping skills. We have problem-focused coping and emotion-focused coping. And basically, you can look at it like this. Can I solve what's going on? If that's yes, that's a problem focus. If I can't solve it, if I can't control it, how do I soothe my emotions? And that's emotion-focused coping, right? Because sometimes we just feel bad and there's nothing we can do about the situation. That is with grief or with loss, or let's say we just lost a job that we really loved. You know, things that we can't control, we still have to learn how to cope with them. And that would be the emotion-focused coping. And both are great. They're just for different situations.
Let me put it into, for a second, let me put it into kind of newsy context if I can. Would this also qualify, like, you know, people see what's happening out in Washington right now, whether it's women's reproductive health, and saying, holy cow, this is now gone. I can't change that. At least maybe elections, certain things, but I cannot change the fact the Supreme Court overruled women's health care when it comes to access to abortion. Or maybe it's LGBTQ rights, or maybe it's race-related rights, civil rights. There are certain things that we continue to strive for, whether it's through elections or demonstrations, but we as individuals, I look in the mirror sometimes and say, what the hell can I do about this personally right now? And the answer is nothing. Does that fall into the same thing?
Yes. So when we go, there's nothing I can do to change the situation right now, that's when we go to emotion-focused coping, right? And that's just going to help us manage our emotional response so we don't get overtaken by it, we aren't overwhelmed by it, and we just need to calm ourselves, right? And so this is going to be more around self-soothing. It's going to be things like meditation and breathing exercises. It might be crying. Crying actually is a humongous emotional focused coping mechanism because it gets the feelings out. The other way I like to think about this is emotion focusing really helps you feel.
And that is a very big part about coping. We love to think through, and I know, Todd, you do this too. We love to think through our problems because it doesn't feel as good to feel it. Right. Because that, you know, sometimes it's painful. Sometimes we have to think about what we did or our role in it. But emotion focused really helps us just soothe so that we can settle ourselves and not be overtaken or hijacked by the world every day, all day.
So I want to touch quickly. Tony, I think he's half kidding, but Tony on YouTube says, can't change it with that attitude, Todd. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be involved in politics or demonstrating that sort of thing. I just think it's important to realize there's a lot of us who get overwhelmed by the fire hose of information, and we can't wake up the next day and change it instantly. And so that dread wears on us, Kira.
Absolutely. And I just want to say, there may be times where you just say, right now, today, I can do nothing about this, right? Maybe my life is too hard. Maybe, you know, maybe I'm dealing with my own stuff, which most of us are on a daily basis, right? So that is where emotion focus comes in. It's helping us feel, it's helping us process, it's helping us move forward so that everything else in the world doesn't hijack our own life.
Yeah.
How can we get to work every day and show up for the people that we love when we're constantly worried about the state of the world? Now, when the next day you might go, I have some rage, some fuel, some fire in me. Is there things that I can do? And that's where we bring in problem focus, right? That might be making a plan, calling your representatives, like reaching out to your local Planned Parenthoods and say, is there a way I can volunteer, or are there things that I can do here? That's problem-focused coping. Mm-hmm. That's when we have some control. That's when we can take our time and our energy and put it towards solving the problem. It might be asking for help. It might be time management. It might be figuring out solutions. It might be having a hard conversation with somebody. But that is when we can actually solve it and we work towards it. And sometimes we have to just ask ourselves, what can I do right now? Or what do I have the bandwidth for right now? And it may just be emotional coping. We just want to make sure that we are not only leaning into one versus the other. There's a place for both, right? We don't want to – go ahead.
No. I think this is still a great and important point, that it's okay to balance and say that there are days where we're going to focus on one over the other, and that's okay.
You know, I think the biggest thing that I've learned in the last few years, due to, as I will openly be real, perimenopause and hormonal changes as a midlife woman, like my life has taught me I have to rest. Mm-hmm. I have to figure out how to feel some of these feelings, you know, process some of these emotions, or otherwise I'm just so overwhelmed, or they just come out in ways that I don't want them to, right? Like all of a sudden I'm really grumpy because I can't take care of any of my emotions. And that's a lot of us. Most of us do not know about this. No, most of us are coping by not so healthy behaviors. And if we don't, I think I said this last week, it's very famous, but if we don't feel it or heal it, we don't heal it, right? If we aren't willing to let it process through our bodies, then it will stay there and it'll just come out at really inopportune times.
What I love about you, Kira, is you keep it real. You're transparent, as I try to be as well in the air. And you're 100% right. There are so many women, I think she wouldn't care if my sister's going through the same thing. And
we talk about it regularly.
I know you do. And it's so important. I think Jay Matt-Nair, Matt-Nair and Ayres talked about it with Dr. Lyerly openly. There are so many people, even if we're not a woman, we have women in our lives. And it's important for us, I think, as men, to be antennas up about this and realize that, you know, the old stupid stereotype, oh, they're just being a witch, I'll clean it up for radio. That ain't true. This is all hardwired. And these are very real things that women have to work through.
I just found out in the last 2 years, by the way, I'm 51. Mm-hmm. And I just found out in the last 2 years that, the process of menopause, I'm not going to make this a menopause, but it's 10 to 12 years for women.
Wow.
I had no idea. So I have been dealing with hormonal changes that are virtually like going through puberty again, but with less energy and way worse metabolism.
Right.
You know, and so we don't know what other people are going through. We don't know what people are struggling with. We don't know what they're dealing with in their personal life. So the more that we can understand how to take care of ourselves, our own emotions, mm-hmm. our own coping, the better we can show up in this world. And that's how we make change. We don't make change by being so overworked, or and boy, do we love to work in the Midwest, don't we?
Right.
We love to tie our productivity to our worth. But if we are, and so to me, that's the coping mechanism we all go to. Todd, I think you, like, if I'm stressed, I work because I feel like I can control it.
Oh, 100%.
But until I burn myself out and my body's like, mm-mm. We're not doing that anymore.
All right.
So we have to figure out ways to cope through stressful situations that feel good. So we just keep showing up day after day for the people in our lives that deserve to have us present.
We're speaking with Kira Sabin in conversation with her, positive psychology coach. You can find all of her work at Thrive With, spelled out Thrive With Kira, KIRA.com, thrivewithkira.com. Kira, let's move on. Next item on the list here, talking about healthy coping skills.
Yeah, so I want to encourage everybody to create your own coping toolbox. I actually do this with my people. It's a workshop I do. And it can be virtual. It can be around your house. But knowing things that make you feel better, that are healthier, it's not about avoiding stress. It's about helping you move through it so you don't burn out, you don't lash out, and we don't shut down. I think that sometimes we forget that shutting down is also emotional dysregulation, mm-hmm. right? I think we think that emotional dysregulation is people shouting at the, you know, or being really, you know, intense. But also, if you can't think, if you can't talk, if we can't set boundaries, if we can't ask for help when we're really struggling, if we shut down, that is also an unhealthy emotional response. That won't get you where you need to go. So I just am going to break the coping toolbox into a couple different categories. The first one just being the emotion-focused tools. So things that help you feel instead of numb. Journaling. I actually don't journal. I voice note. I do it into my phone. I can listen back to it. I can hear what I'm saying. And when I hear what I'm saying, sometimes I'm like, oh yeah, that doesn't make sense. I'm worrying about something that doesn't even make sense in my brain. Mm-hmm. I also mentioned crying, talking to a safe friend, your therapist, a coach, and make sure that the person you're talking to is somebody who could actually hold space for you, can actually listen to you. Because I hear from a lot of my clients, you know, helpful friends or parents that are unfortunately sometimes make us feel worse. I'm just going to say they haven't had a lot of training in this. So, you know, be careful who you share your stories with. Also, just name what you're feeling. It's okay to be disappointed by something. It's okay to feel overwhelmed. The more shame we add to it, the more that emotion stays. Listening to music. I would say that music is one of my number one, like, emotional balancers. If I have a couple of playlists that just make me happy, and within a song or two, it can literally change my mood. You know, they're finding out more and more music therapy is a humongous helper in changing our mood, helping us process emotions and coping things, everything. Even one of my favorite things, art. So I just do crafts, and crafts actually help us feel and process things. It's nutty. So just like paint by number kits, puzzles can help. All of these things take us out of our head for a little bit, put us present, and let us move on from something.
This might sound weird, but many of the things you just listed, Kira, and we've talked about this before, are things that we grew up doing. But now, for those watching on the stream, I have my cell phone in my hand, my smartphone, quote unquote. This is wrecking us, and myself included. And I saw a great interview with Oprah with some teenage girl that put her smartphone in a shoebox for 4 years, stopped using it at like 15, and it completely changed her life because she said there were parts of her life. She got her first smartphone at 12. From 12 to 15, there are parts of her life she cannot remember. That's crazy.
I know. I don't have the stats off the top of my head, but we as a society are going to have to start looking at this because it's a thing, right?
But like what you just said, getting out, crafting, doing something, painting, yes. Listening to music. Those are things when you and I grew up, we didn't have smartphones. That's just what we did. I'm not saying that we're better off than the generation today. I'm just saying that these are things that people might say, well, that's just, you know, of course you listen to music. There are people who don't listen to music anymore.
It's true. It's true. And these are things that actually help.
Right.
It's not, I love the best thing about positive psychology is it's not rocket science, but we have stopped doing these things that keep us connected to each other and to ourselves.
It might not be rocket science, but we need psychology coach scientists like Kira Sabin to help get us there. ThriveWithKira.com, where you can find her work. Come back and wrap it up. Kira Sabin making us feel better, helping us cope on the All Ball Show across Wisconsin Civic Media on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. New York City Mayor Eric Adams had his bribery and corruption charges dropped by the U.S. Department of Justice under questionable circumstances in April. Because of those charges, the New York City Campaign Finance Board denied Adams matching campaign funds. Adams is now suing to get those funds. Mayor Adams was accused last December by the Biden DOJ with taking campaign donations from foreign nationals and businessmen, allegedly using straw donors to make them appear as legitimate donations. He was also accused of doing favors in exchange for luxury travel and attempting to conceal those transactions. We reported in February that the DOJ dropped bribery and corruption charges against Adams after Adams visited Trump at Mar-a-Lago. An apparent Trump directive to drop the charges to the DOJ's Southern District of New York resulted in the resignations of 7 experienced prosecutors. As a result of the corruption charges and paperwork omissions, the New York Campaign Finance Board denied Adams $4 million in matching funds for his campaign from the state's taxpayer-funded campaign finance option. Now that the charges have been dropped, Politico reports that Adams is now suing the board to recover $3.4 million of those denied funds. The Campaign Finance Board will reportedly revisit Adams' eligibility for funding in July. Find our past reports on Adams at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. We are in a rare moment right now in Wisconsin politics. Why, you ask? Well, it's because we are not actively in the middle of a campaign cycle. It's been more than 6 weeks now since any of us have seen a campaign ad. It's been pretty nice, hasn't it? The moment we're in is as close as we're going to get to a political off-season here in Wisconsin. And we need to take advantage of this moment by taking action to improve our democracy. That means taking steps to address money in politics, cleaning up some issues with election administration, and creating a long-term plan for nonpartisan redistricting. In some cases, we can't make these kinds of changes in the middle of a campaign, so we need to be thinking about what we can do now. There's a lot both parties can agree on here, too. So let's make some moves this offseason, Wisconsin. Seize this moment to make a better, stronger, more inclusive democracy.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
This is for people who watched me anchoring the news at Channel 13. My last day at TV 13 was 20 years ago yesterday.
Oh, I'm old now too.
Well, yeah, that was my whole point.
Pat, I was too when you stopped working at TV.
That's what I get all the time now is people come up and they go, oh, were you on TV? I'm like, yeah. And then I go, don't say it. I watched you when I was a little kid. I'm like, yikes.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Thanks for sticking with us in the best of the Todd Allball Show. This is the rest of Todd's conversation with Kira Sabin, a positive psychology life coach.
Welcome back to 80s Alive. No, it's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 8 minutes now before the hour of 3 o'clock. Coming up in hour number two, a spicy what's worse for you involving the Packers. Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers? Wow. CP dug deep today. That's controversial. So we'll talk about that. Also talk a little bit more serious issues, Memorial Day, and the President of the United States making some, in my opinion, abhorrent comments. But we'll talk more about that in hour number two. Right now, talking about healthy coping skills with our guest this hour, Kira Sabin, positive psychology coach. You can find all of her work at thrivewithkira.com. That's thrivewithkira.com. Kira, let's take 30 seconds and plug this. It's a women's retreat or a new program you have coming up. I want to make sure people know about this. I know people have done it and they love it. Tell us about it.
Okay, I was not expecting this, everybody. So I do one-on-one coaching on things around midlife, on relationships, as well as just life resets. So we do a full assessment. But my biggest program is called the Thrive Midlife Program. And it's a six-month program. It's 14 women. We have a kickoff retreat actually here in Madison in the fall. And over 6 months, you have daily access to me to change your life. And we learn everything from how to build deep self-worth and self-compassion, how to emotionally regulate the exact things we're talking about now, and how to change your life so you actually like it. Because I know that when I talk to a lot of Gen Xers, we're still kind of living the way that our parents told us to live and not always the way that feels good to us. And so that's what I do. On a daily basis.
If you're a Gen Xer or anybody else, so this particular one, you've done one for both genders, particularly for women, right?
This is for women, so, but I work with both women and men in coaching.
Kira has helped me, I will say that personally, and helped me work through some things in a very great and positive way. I highly recommend it. ThriveWithKira.com to learn more and sign up. All right, Kira, healthy coping skills. Let's finish up here. I got about 5 minutes.
I do want to just quickly say, on the break, Matthew was talking about crying, mm-hmm. actually, and how I think particularly for any of us, but definitely men, it's looked as maybe weak or being like too sensitive or vulnerable. But actually crying has a ton of benefits. And most people don't know that our tears when we're crying emotionally are different than other kind of tears, and they're slower, so people will notice. Mm-hmm. They're mm-hmm. actually there for community building. They're actually there so that people notice and give us a hug. That's one of the ways that we evolved as humans to be strong culture is by community. But the second way or thing that we want to add to our coping toolbox, so we talked about emotion-focused tools, also regulation tools. And that's just for calming your body when you're really upset about something. Somebody really hurt your feelings or you're really angry. That can be breath work. And man, there are so many amazing apps now that just do help you breathe in and out. My iPhone, like, or my Apple Watch actually has the meditation breaths right on it. So at any time I can look at it. And it's showing me box breathing. Even cold waters on your hand or face can shock you and reset your system. Going for a walk outside, stretching, dancing, shaking it out, a weighted blanket, a comfort object. All of these things are going to help calm us, which we need when what's called an amygdala hijack, basically, when something has really, you know, hijacked our emotions for a minute, we have to take it back. And then the third type of tools are the problem focused. And that's just making a plan or to-do list, you know, setting a boundary, asking for help or clarity, saying no, which I know we also don't like to do.
As Todd raises his hand.
Right. Scheduling time for rest and play and fun and joy, which we don't do enough of. We think it's actually, you know, if we're not working and getting something or productive, like there's something wrong with us. But rest is actually part of the productivity. If we don't, it becomes too much. Mm-hmm. And just even postponing or delegating something not urgent if we need to. But these are when we have options to solve the problem. But just having things on like the back burner for you to go, I don't feel good right now. What do I need?
One of the things that you've helped me with before and you've talked about before is just saying it's okay not to always say yes and please everyone. And it's not selfish to first take care of ourselves, because if we're not healthy as individuals, how can we possibly go on to help others?
And the thing is that we don't like to talk about the other side of people pleasing, which is resentfulness. We become resentful, right? So it's not like we're always just doing things with the best intentions. No, a lot of times we get angry. We become transactional. We start counting or like, I did this and I did that and they didn't do this for me. That is not a way to build a friendship. That's not a way to build a relationship. That's not a way to build love. So not only is it not nice, or maybe it's nice, but it's certainly not kind. If we don't take care of ourselves, we will burn ourselves out, and then we'll not be good for anybody, including ourselves.
And that's really important, to take care of ourselves first so that we can help others. Less than a minute, Kira. Any final thoughts here?
Just that, know that you are already coping. And really look at, is it helping, you know? Mm-hmm. And if not, there are so many great and small, easy ways to start adding these things in. Just even going outside, putting on a favorite song, doing a puzzle. All of these things are actually healthy coping skills, and they're fun.
They're actually fun.
I dance around my room. Right. I dance around my room for a good song. And I'll tell you, I feel better afterwards.
And I think so many of these things you talked about today are fun when doing it with family and friends, people you enjoy being around and reconnecting in a human way, right? Sitting in our own houses or wherever, apartments, alone, looking at a screen ain't healthy, in my opinion.
Well, there's a lot of science that backs that up, so it's not just your opinion. And we're here to share and commune. That's our main goal.
That's all for this week's Best of the Todd Allbaugh Show. As always, if you want to hear the rest of the week's shows, you can go to civicmedia.us/shows or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And as Todd always says, whatever you believe in, whatever you're fighting for, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. We'll see you on Monday.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by T-Mobile Business Advantage.
I'm Stacey Lynn. We begin with wildfires to our north. According to the Canadian Interagency Forest Fire Center, more than 90 fires are burning out of control. Earlier this week, 17,000 people were told to flee their homes in Manitoba, which borders North Dakota and Minnesota. Premier Wab Kanu.
Typically, we'd have wildfires in one region, say east, west, north. This year, it's in every region and at the same time.
The wildfires are causing unhealthy air quality for millions of Americans this weekend. Smoke is drifting through the Midwest, says WCCO meteorologist Lisa Meadows.
Across Minnesota, a lot of this smoke is aloft, but we anticipate it being able to mix down, and that's when you get the air quality issues at the surface. That's a possibility throughout the weekend going until Monday. It's when that air quality alert does expire.
At a rally in Pittsburgh, President Trump...